Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, worship team, for leading us in the presence of the Lord. We are excited to finish up with the book of James today. We've been preaching through the book of James. We kind of got tired of chasing the issues of the day, and we said, Lord, can we just study your word together? And he has proven time and time again that even though his word is eternal, it's also always relevant and practical and helpful in building us up and correcting us and in glorifying Christ. Let's interact with some of these responses from the question we put out to you. If there's one thing you could change about our country, what would it be? There's this lady who replied online. Her name's Leah Bebout. She sounds cute. She said, I wish our country would take a deep breath and sit back, resting in a spirit of gratitude, or at least hope, instead of acting like rabid dogs. I think she's confusing the country with the state of our home, with all of the children. But I echo that. She sounds wise. Let me see if I can get some of these text responses. Cameron's going to make it full screen. Maybe. Okay, that didn't really help. All right. More surrender and obedience to the full truth of God's word, somebody said. I could go for that. That every pizza place would sell by the slice. All right? Why not? That the church would have full hope and confidence to impact our communities with God's transformation power, more hope, no fear, full trust, and not feeling overwhelmed. That sounds good. Our country would be a better place if people would maintain and prioritize relationship even amidst disagreement. That's pretty good. Let's go back to the Facebook responses, if you don't mind, Cameron. What else you got other than that weird lady? This is a test. We're trying. Mr. Blau says, I would love it if our countries and our leaders valued and imbued integrity. How about imbuing some integrity? Work on imbuing. Sarah Wells, I wish our country would quit the blame game and approach this challenging time with a shared spirit of creativity and innovation to help each other out. That sound good? Lydia says, I wish our country would be united, addressing problems together instead of turning everything into an argument. That's good. Sue Einiger says, more giving and less talking. Yeah. Ann Williams says, outdoing one another in love and honor. Sounds good. Take a couple more. Brandon Wells, humility is what I desire for our country. To listen to facts, experts in science, we have to humble ourselves. I could go for some of that. Last one, not that one. It's too long. Sorry. James Machen says, I wish our country would love others as God has loved us. Anybody in the room have anything to add to that list? We've got humility, we've got unity, we've got a desire of honoring one another, loving one another like the Lord has loved us. What would you add, if anything, to that list?
Praying for a Holy Spirit pandemic.
A Holy Spirit pandemic. Come on! I would go for some of that too.
More God, less government.
More God and less government. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Could add to that list. Thank you for sharing. What is so interesting is that there is a lot of similarity, right, in these responses. We're seeing that there is a spirit of unity in these responses. This desire for more grace, humility, truth, that we would be united. I think all of those are really good things. Let me talk to you about what's going to come up in the next few weeks, and then we will finish up the book of James. This is a reminder that next week we'll start our five-week series that's called Deep Dive, and in it we'll be spending 5 weeks on one verse in Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. So if you're wondering how a pastor who talks a lot can take one verse of Scripture and turn it into five sermons, you're about to find out. I have found this verse to be incredibly, incredibly encouraging in this season. And I'm praying that as we dive deeply into the word together, not only that we would learn this verse by heart and we would carry it with us, but it also be something that the Lord uses to sustain us and encourage us in this season. But let's get back to the book of James. I'll tell you the one thing I regret about the haircut is that I can no longer headbang to Bohemian Rhapsody with my kids. They have been asking for that song to watch me headbang. I'm gonna have to have Tyler over. How are you at headbanging, Tyler? You have to get your hair out of the man bun to do it. But I was doing a lot of headbanging in Bohemian Rhapsody. Let's face it, it's probably the best song written in the last 30 years. Was it written in the last 30 years? Probably not. You disagree with the assessment or the fact that the song was written in the last 30 years? Okay, well, you agree it's the best song written recently. Okay, good. Tyler's on the same page. Everyone remember intern Tyler? He's back. And also intern Sam, and they got married. That's another one for me. I'm bringing people together since 1985. So the thing about Bohemian Rhapsody, my kids love this song, but if you've listened to the lyrics of the song, you know that it's not like super optimistic outlook on life, and so I'm kind of like editing the lyrics as we're singing them together. And especially the last words of the song. Do you remember this? Maybe you're not as familiar with Freddie Mercury's work as I am, but he says, "Nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me." And that is a worldview that is gaining traction in our world, isn't it? None of it matters. Just do whatever you want. But as we've been going through the book of James, we realize that that's not true, and that there are some things that really matter to God. And at the end of James chapter 5, he gives us a summary, basically, of the things that he's talked about all through this letter. And really, he's highlighting not only the contents of the letter, but the things that are most important to God, according to James. So, without further ado, let's dive into scripture today. We're going to be in James chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 12 through 20. And James is sharing with us what really matters to God. "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth, but by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the errors of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Let's pray together this morning. God, we long to know you. We long to hear from you. We long to learn your heart. And so as we finish this amazing time studying through the book of James, this word that you've given your church that has been so powerful and so practical for us in this season, we pray that once again we would come with a heart that is thirsty for you. In this world where we're constantly seeing strife and antagonism and difficulty and falsehood, may we be a people who hunger and thirst for the truth, hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for love and grace in you. May we be blessed by your Spirit moving, your word speaking, and your people responding this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. So unlike Freddie Mercury, James contends that there are some things that really matter to God. And this verse starts out with the favorite of the brethren, simply let your yes be yes. Brethren, practice this act of non-swearing, which means that we believe that living lives where people can count on you and depend on you and that your word means something reflects Jesus, reflects the honesty and truth that God expects of us. And so right out of the gate, James in this closing thing basically echoes something he's been saying throughout this entire work, which is integrity matters to God. Integrity matters to God. All throughout the book of James, there's this constant encouragement for our lives to match what we say we believe. An encouragement for the church to be free of hypocrisy, for us not to be sullied by duplicitous talk. That integrity matters to God. And I've heard a lot of different definitions of integrity over the years, right? Like doing in the dark, you know, the right thing, or doing something without ever anyone knowing that you did the right thing. And I was just reflecting on integrity after serving in ministry for the last several years. And one of the things that I've realized is, as a pastor, I get to see a lot of times the best and worst of people. And one of the things I take very seriously in my role is pastoral confidence, right? And so over the years, I have learned a lot of secrets that people don't share with others. And whether that's a confession of something that they've done, whether it's an admission of abuse they've experienced, whether it's talking through challenges that they are going through, I hear a lot of different things. And a lot of times I've been surprised. In ministry, I've been surprised by the level of difficulty people have experienced or the hardships they've endured or even the things that they've done in their past. And one of the things that sometimes people get, they learn about people's real lives and they get cynical. I'm not cynical at all. I still have a very high view of people who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. But one of the things that happens is that I'm hard to surprise. I still get surprised on occasion, but I think I'm harder to surprise after having been in ministry. Would you say that's fair, Pastor Gilmer? I'm harder to surprise. I'm still surprisable, all right? But I'm harder to surprise. And so I've been thinking about integrity, and basically what I've been thinking about integrity is this. Integrity is all about, are people safe with you? Are people safe with you? I think that's the best measure of integrity I can think of. Are people safe with you? In the movie, The Lord of the Rings, if you remember the weird wizard Gandalf, maybe he's not weird, maybe he's awesome. But at the beginning of the movie, he shows up looking for Frodo Baggins, and the first thing he asks when he stumbles into his little hobbit hole apartment, sweat straining, is it secret? Is it safe? Do you remember this line? I hope you guys are watching as much Lord of the Rings as you are listening to Bohemian Rhapsody. Those things go together. And he's asking about this ring, this force of incredible destructive power. Has he kept it secret? Has he kept it safe? And that's a lot of the times when I think about integrity. You know, we have children, right? Who gets to watch our children? People I believe they're going to be safe with, right? People of integrity. When people share their struggles with you, when people share something with you, are their secrets safe with you? Are your confessions safe? Are their confessions safe with you? If not, James would probably have some correction for us, say. We are a people called to follow in the likeness of the good shepherd. I like James Machen's comment that we would serve the world like God has served us. That's our call as followers of Jesus. And the good shepherd does what? We went through a series of this several months ago. He lays down his life for his sheep. He protects his sheep. He is trustworthy with his sheep. All throughout the book of James, this constant reminder, integrity matters to God. Doesn't seem to count for much in the world these days, but to God, it's very important. What else matters to God, according to James? Well, words matter to God. The language we use, the way we speak. Are we speaking in ways that build people up, or are we speaking in ways that tear people down? This summer, I've been flirting with vegetarianism. I call myself a low-maintenance vegetarian, which means if I come to your house and you're serving hot dogs, I will eat it and frankly be grateful to. And so my wife and I were like, you know what you need is a garden. If you're going to be eating vegetables, we should plant a garden. And our garden is really sad because we planted a garden before the kids came. So 7 years ago, we planted a garden and it was great. And we got all kinds of vegetables and life was good, especially because we were sleeping. But now we've done it again 7 years later, and the same place, the same plot that we planted before, we planted and we've gotten basically like one zucchini. And that's it. Just one really sad, and it looked like a balloon that like got blown up at the end, but the other one was still skinny. It was kind of weird. And we realized that what had happened in the 7 years since we planted the last garden, that same plot was all the trees around our garden grew up, and the garden is no longer receiving much direct sunlight, all right? So we spent a lot of money this year for one stinking zucchini, all right? I'm not bitter. And I realized, you know, there's this powerful analogy that Jesus talks about absolutely, and James, the brother of Jesus, is talking to all through us through the book of James, that the words oftentimes don't just come out of nowhere. The words we speak reveal the condition of our heart, right? And many times, the words that we speak not only reveal the condition of our heart, but they give sunlight to the things that we may or may not be experiencing. Right? So if you are a person who's constantly speaking blessings on others, hoping for the best, always speaking in ways that are integritous and truthful, you are allowing the sun to shine on those parts of your life. But if you are constantly being negative, if you are constantly tearing others down, if you are constantly spouting conspiracy theories, what are we doing? We're growing a different kind of plant. And the thing about plants is some are very nutritious, some are poisonous, and some are deadly. Despite the fact that we can't grow a vegetable to save our life, poison ivy is doing very well in our backyard, right? And poison ivy is bad, but nightshade is worse, right? And I know sometimes when you eat kale, it feels like you want to die, but I promise you it's not as bad as consuming the other, right? So the words we speak all throughout the book of James, he's saying once and once again, they matter. They have significance. Let's not forget our universe was created by the Word. The Savior we follow is the Word, according to John's gospel. So let's continue to be careful with what we say, submitting our words to God. The large majority of today's passage is about prayer. Prayer matters to God. Prayer matters to God. Seeking the Lord, seeking his wisdom. And what I love about James is he recognizes prayer is not just for the occasion of when we are very desperate, right? James says, is anyone happy? That's an occasion to praise and pray, right? Is anyone having a hard time? Is anyone struggling? That's an occasion to pray. Is anyone sick? That's an occasion to pray. Prayer matters to God because not only is the recognition that our relationship with Christ dependent on what we do and what we say, but we're also recognizing that all of what we have is by his will, his grace, and his instructions. So we would be wise to be people who would listen, to get quiet, to still ourselves, to seek his face. I think it's very in right now to self-diagnose yourself with various mental and medical conditions, and so I'm going to do so. Have you all heard of ADHD? How many of you are suffering from the self-diagnosis of ADHD? I'm giving myself a diagnosis, what I'm calling ASHD. ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. I have Attention Surplus Hyperactivity Disorder, which means I'm really good at focusing, so much so that often I don't know what room I'm in when I'm very focused. This is all according to my wife, by the way. When I am reading, when I am working on something, when I am on my phone, responding to someone, I have this condition where I cannot hear people speaking to me. And just yesterday, we learned that this mental condition that I have is hereditary, and my daughter has it as well. And Rosie was reading a book yesterday, and she was really into the book, and we said, I'm thinking 5 to 6 sentences to her, and none of it was registering. And we finally said, hey! She said, huh? And we said, did you hear anything we just said to you? And she said, no. And Leah looked at me and said, we have another one. But at which point I had already started reading again. I said, huh? What'd you say? I wonder if the reason the church is not hearing from the Lord and the Holy Spirit is because we are so focused on what we're doing all the time. I got my agenda. I got my things. I got my opinions of what I think is wrong with our country and our world and our community. And we're very focused on what we're doing. And I don't know if we've done a good job of making space for listening for what God wants to be doing. Tonight, we're going to be gathering all the churches in the area, gathering together to pray. And I'm so grateful for Pastor John Bouquet, who was one of the organizers of this event. And I know his heart for this event is that we need to call the church together so that we can repent for what's happening in our world and our country right now. Do you notice whenever we talk about what's wrong with our country, it's never issues that we are contributing to? Isn't that part of the problem, folks? That we know if everybody else got their act together, we wouldn't be having this division, this difficulty, this and a recognition for the church to be able to say, hey, you know what, actually, we are participants in this brokenness. We are contributors to this brokenness. And there is sin rampant in our world right now. So we as the church would be very wise to come together and say, Lord, forgive us. Praying is important to God, making space and listening for his Spirit allows us to reconnect and to heal. Here's what else matters to God according to the book of James. Justice. Justice matters to God. Religion that is pure and blameless is this, remember, that you would look out for yourself, be self-sufficient. Nope. Look after widows, orphans, those who have been put in perilous, unpredictable situations. Pastor Tim Keller recently caused a firestorm on Twitter this week by tweeting this apparently controversial take, talking about oppression, justice, etc., doesn't make one a Marxist, it makes one a student of the Bible. I like that. Tim Keller, if you don't know, pretty much universally respected in Christianity. There's a lot of different denominations in Christianity, a lot of different people. I like this person, I like this person. Tim Keller's one of the very few people that I think everybody respects a lot, right? Pastor of First Redeemer Church in New York City. He's written a lot of books. He's Presbyterian, which, if you're wondering, if Christian denominations were ice cream flavors, Presbyterians are vanilla, okay? Just very easy, you know? Nobody's going to get riled up by that. If you're wondering, following that analogy, what ice cream flavor Brethren denomination would be, the answer is goat cheese beet swirl. Not a lot of people know about it. Fewer like it. But it is good for you. It's true. So Tim Keller, very respected, down the middle of the road, very thoughtful, just incredibly well-known Christian writer and pastor, says, caring about justice is not a Marxist thing. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you are serious about reading Scripture, you are going to see these themes emerge. Now, how they get implemented, what the church's role is, the government's role, yeah, we can have all kinds of fun conversations about this. But folks, read the book of James again. I know we've just spent a long time in it, but like, you could sit down in 15 minutes and knock it out. It's 5 chapters. Read the book of James and tell me that the Lord does not care about justice. And again, this is one of those times where we have allowed the world to so frame the conversation that we think that a recognition of something makes us an enemy of someone else, rather than the Word of God moving forth and saying, yes, the plight of those who are hurting, who are oppressed, who have been pushed to the margins, matters to God, and how should the church respond to it? I would suggest a great place to start is living with integrity, speaking words of truth, being people of prayer, being people who live our lives with justice in mind. Justice matters to God. Here's the last thing that we see in the book of James as we close today. Your life matters to God. Your life matters to God. James says, if anyone would turn a sinner from the error of their ways, this cosmic, infinite God who holds the cosmos into existence by his will cares about each and every person in this room, each and every person watching, whether you're doing it live or later, and longs for you not to be enslaved to sin and destined for destruction, but longs for you to know and follow and receive his free gift of grace. It's easy to feel an increasingly antagonistic and automated world that nobody cares. And it seems like there's a cacophony of voices right now trying to convince us that they do care. But if you're like me, I'm viewing a lot of it with like a heavy dose of suspicion. I got an email from my watch this morning that told me it was proud of me. Because over the last 4 years, I have climbed 14,000 floors, and it gave me an award badge. And it felt good in my heart to know that my watch was proud of me. I love you too. I got a call from the bank the other day. It was the kindest phone call I've ever had in my life, but this person was just checking in. I'm serious, like, just checking in to see how you're doing. I'm fine. Have I missed any payments recently? No, nothing like that. We want you to know we're here for you. Okay.
How much money do you have?
I have no money. I don't understand it. That's a great question. Has anyone else got a phone call from the bank recently? Maybe it was a scammer. I don't know. I saw a billboard the other day of a random... like huge corporation, I don't even remember the name of it, but I remember seeing this billboard and it said, we're here for you during these troubled times. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Can I go to the Foot Locker and they're gonna help me out with my mortgage? Well, the bank wants to, apparently. I don't know, like, It's very strange times where everyone wants you to know how concerned we are and that we're there for you. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I just feel like, no, you don't know who I am. How could you possibly be there for me? How could you possibly care about me? Random billboard on 42? Like, I mean, come on. Juxtapose that with a God who created you, who knit you together, who knows the amount of hairs on your head, who knows how many days that you have until your last breath, who has laid down his life on the hill of Calvary to purchase you back from destruction and separation. That is a God who cares. Your life matters to God. And in a world where we are continuing to see not surprisingly, under the stresses that we're experiencing, mental health issues on the rise, issues of self-harm on the rise, for the church to be able to say, you know what matters to God? In addition to integrity and our words and prayer and justice, you know what else matters to God? You. You. As we continue to move forward, we're recognizing there's still a lot of heart ahead of us, right? There's still a lot of challenges ahead of us. But the Lord is with us. He promised us that. He would never leave or forsake us. And so as we continue to feel our way forward into a world that seems like it's changing by the minute, may the church do so, recognizing regardless what the world might say, something really matters to God. And we would be a people wise to prioritize the things he cares about and make sure that they're the things we care about as well. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, may you be high and lifted up. May you be exalted. May you be glorified in the lives of your followers. And we pray that we would not be content simply to know about you, but we would long for a deep, intimate relationship with you. And that from that place, that deep connection, that intimacy, that shared knowing of one another, that the church would begin to shine brighter and brighter amidst a darkening world. That we would be a city on a hill, that we would be proclaiming the goodness of Jesus, who entered into a world just as full of political scheming, who entered into a world just as full of religious hypocrisy, who entered into a world just as full as social division and racism and everything. He entered that world and modeled a way of truth, forgiveness, and peace. May we be so bold to follow after you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So another thing that we're trying in this season is recognizing that the home viewer audience maybe has a little bit of a different experience than those of us gathered. That's to be expected. So we're trying to change the service order a little bit to release those who are watching online. And then we who are gathered here, if you wish, are going to stay for some more worship and prayer together. But let's pray so that you can receive this benediction. We care about things that are not only important to us, but important to those we love. When we walk alongside someone, when someone enters into our life, when the Lord puts us together with a family or friends that last a lifetime, the things they care about begin to become the things that we care about because we love this person. May we continue to grow increasingly concerned with the things you care about, Lord, because of our great love for you. We pray that we would not be so selfish in our relationship with you to constantly be worrying about what we think, what we feel, what we need. But can we sometimes, through your Spirit and your grace, pause our ceaseless restlessness and get still and say, Lord, what about you? What's heavy on your heart? What do you want to see? What makes you excited? And may we begin to change slowly by your help, by your grace, by your consistent reformation in our lives, so that the things you care about and the things we care about begin to merge and fuse into one. We need your help and your Spirit's presence. We need your grace and truth to sustain us. Help your people be your ambassadors in your created order. Pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. If you've been joining us from home, we're grateful for you, and we promise sooner or later, we'll see you soon. If you are in the room with us today, you can view this as an opportunity to peace out if you've got some meatloaf in the oven or something. It's a little bit early for meatloaf, but if you invite me to your house, I'll gladly eat it. Low maintenance vegetarian. If you'd like to stay, we're going to continue to worship for a little bit together.